Good morning. It was in the coast of Caesarea Philippi where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They gave varied answers, but he then made it personal. "But whom say ye that I am?" To this Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16:13-19. Jesus was not saying he would build his church upon Peter, as taught by some, nor upon Peter's confession, as taught by others. He said he would build his church on the truth expressed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is forever the foundation of the church he built. Attached to that promise was another for his apostles, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Recall another promise in Mark 9:1, where Jesus says, "That there be some of them that stand here which will not taste of death till he see the kingdom of God come with power." That kingdom, the church, was to come during the lifetime of the apostles. Meanwhile, they were preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," since the preaching of John, Matthew 3:1-2. When a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was told, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God," John 3:5. Though a teacher of the Jews, Nicodemus didn't understand. This parallels the statement of Jesus, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16:16. This was the key of entrance into the kingdom of God, or the church. Jesus had said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me," John 14:6. Study the conversions in Jerusalem that's recorded in Acts 2, where about 3,000 were saved the first day. It was a joyous, triumphant people that had come into the kingdom, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. So rapidly did the church grow in Jerusalem that it was soon recorded, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000, Acts 4:4. Examine a notable case of conversion, an Ethiopian eunuch. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Acts 8:36-38. It is difficult to misunderstand this passage. It goes on to show the Ethiopian going into the water, coming up out of the water, and then going on his way rejoicing, and Philip continuing on his way into Caesarea, preaching all the while. Saul of Tarsus is also an example of how people entered the church. After first persecuting the church, the Lord appeared to Saul to make him a minister and a witness, Acts 26:16. Paul spent 3 days and nights in fasting and prayer before the Lord's answer was given by Ananias. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. Later, Paul was to write, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life," Romans 6:3-4. Paul said clearly, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ," Galatians 3:26-27. When baptized into Christ, you are in his body, the church, the kingdom. He is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence, Colossians 1:18. In obedience we are inducted into the church and kingdom. We have already seen that Jesus Christ is the builder of the church, but he also is the head. Paul wrote of the glory God gave to him, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:22-23. Christ stands as sovereign head over his body, the church, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. So, there is the closest affinity between Christ and his disciples, and it should be known by every saint. The closeness of Christ and his church is shown by comparison. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27. Evaluate the purity and holiness of the Lord's church as you study. Think of the price Jesus paid and the cost of cleansing. Jesus Christ was not buying some temporal and earthly institution. This glorious, spotless, and unwrinkled church is the spiritual body of our Lord. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. Saints of God constitute the glorified body of Christ, composed of all redeemed souls, to offer praise for our sanctification. Jesus had promised the kingdom was nigh as he spoke to his disciples for the last time. Yet they still believed not, or at least they didn't understand. As they asked him this question, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:6-8. He was the head over all things to the church, but he was also king over the kingdom of God. Some held false notions to the nature of his kingdom, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said to them, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:20-21. Just think what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13-14. Herein is our heritage, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into this kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. It is relevant that we give serious thought to what members were called in the Bible, and also what the church was called. The first part is found in the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. Much later, Paul preached Christ to King Agrippa. Then Agrippa said unto him, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Acts 26:28-29. Paul gloried in that name. As Peter taught, Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 4:16. Friends, the Apostle Paul denounced any who would wear human names as leaders. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:11-13. It was a scathing rejection of all party names, even his own. He wanted only Christ exalted as the head of the church. Every name of human origin is an affront to Jesus Christ and to the place and honor God gave him. Ephesians 1:15-23. Most often the church was just called the church. It was called the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12:23. Again, it was called the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3:15. It was simply called the Church of God, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, and Acts 20, 28. Then we read, "The churches of Christ salute you," Romans 16, 16, as the churches in different places are grouped together. The church of the firstborn would equate to the church of Christ, as he was the firstborn of many brethren, Romans 8, 29. These names and terms of reference are scriptural and can be used by all. But what of a name like the Lone Star True Vine Spiritual Church? Does that one fall under the arbor of Holy Writ? God provided a name for the church. Who is man to improvise? God also called his children Christians, but a vast assortment of hyphenated Christians are running around loose. And who gave them all these names? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? James 2, verse 7. Surely you're not blaspheming that holy name when you quote Romans 16, 16, "The churches of Christ salute you." Rather, let him glorify God on this behalf. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 3. If God authorize it in his book, obey it. Your soul is too precious to gamble away. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.